Scripture reading this morning, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. We'll be looking at this portion in just a few moments. Turn once again to Genesis chapter 6. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for all your love to us today. We thank you for lifting us up out of sin and giving us new life in Christ, putting us upon his solid rock. And we pray that we would walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. We pray, our Father, this morning for each one who is here, that you'll speak to each one of our hearts, draw us closer to you, help us to realize that we need you so much in our daily life. May we not forget all that you are to us. And we do pray, our Father, for those who cannot be with us today. We pray for those who are shut in at this time. I ask for your blessings upon Bob and Marilyn Kirkner, upon Elena Meshi. Pray that you'll comfort her heart and help her to soon be able to come back and be with us again. We pray, our Father, for others too that are unable to get out, and pray that you'll meet their needs as well. Any others who are ill, are afflicted, pray that you'll touch and strengthen each one, and that your holy, precious will might be accomplished in each life. We do thank you for our church, our Father, and for the opportunity to come together from time to time, and pray that we will cherish all that you have done for us and remember all of your blessings, and that we will walk in fellowship with you and be thankful and grateful for our Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation that we have in him. Lord, we ask you to guide and help us now as we look into your word once again. May we be challenged. May we be strengthened. May we be awakened to what we need to do. May your will be done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. We're looking here at a very familiar story. I'm sure that we are acquainted with the story of Noah and the ark. It's one of the most famous, familiar Bible stories. We see it in the movies, or at Sight and Sound, and in all of the children's books, and the little arcs with the figurines that they play with. And now Answers in Genesis has the full-scale ark down in Kentucky there, and in other places as well. And just about everybody knows about Noah and the ark. Of course, many consider the whole thing a myth. They don't really believe that it's true. And yet, we know that it is, right? We know that this is reality. This is something that God has put in his word to show us it really happened. And his holiness, his judgment, that we cannot discount. Jesus had something to say about this over in Matthew chapter 24. Hold your place there and we'll look at that. Matthew chapter 24. Several places it speaks about the ark throughout the scriptures and the flood that came upon the earth. Matthew 24 verse 37. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So we find here the comparison between the days of Noah and the days in which we live today, waiting for the coming of the Son of Man. What are the similarities and what are the differences? It says here that these people were living normal lives. They were going about eating and drinking and marrying and so forth, all of the natural things that people are doing. We read also over in the book of Genesis where the God says that they were exceedingly wicked and ungodly. Not unlike the day in which we live, right? All we have to do is listen to the news for a few moments and we hear of all of the violence and ungodliness and sin that is going on all around us. So what do we find here about the days of Noah? Why did God bring judgment upon them? So let's look back here at chapter 6. And we see that God brought judgment because of the sin of man was great. The human race corrupted itself before the Lord, and the whole earth, it says, was filled with violence. Violence. God determined to destroy mankind because of their excessive sinfulness. And only one man and his family were to be saved from the judgment. Can you imagine? You think about Abraham when he prayed for Lot and his family in Sodom. He says, Lord, if there's 10 there, would you spare the city? Oh, yes. He says, I'll spare the city even if there's 10 there. But you know the story, right? They didn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom. And God destroyed the cities because of their sinfulness. And the same thing here on a larger scale. Mankind has corrupted himself to the extent that God says, I cannot stand to let this go any longer. But Noah, it says in verse 9, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 8, actually. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's a wonderful statement, isn't it? You know, of all these people there on the earth, there was one man who was on God's side, so to speak. And it says in verse 9 that he was a just man, righteous and perfect or complete, serving God in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Just like it had said about Enoch, we saw him recently. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Noah walked with God, and God saved him from the judgment that came upon all of the earth. You know, the name Noah means rest. When he was born, for some reason, his father or mother named him rest. And maybe it was prophetic because he did bring comfort in saving civilization through building the ark so that mankind was not completely destroyed or wiped out. But Noah lived among this ungodly people. And can you imagine one person who is righteous and who's serving God, who believes in the one true God, in the midst of all of these other people all around, that all they wanted to do was to party and have their, you know, please themselves and had no time or place for God. A wickedness, ungodliness, immorality, and violence on every hand. This was the civilization in which Noah lived. And somehow God placed his mercy and grace on him. You know, this is the word grace, is God's unmerited favor. So it wasn't because Noah was a good man and did good things that God saved him. He was that, yes, but God chose to save him by his grace. Just like it says in the New Testament about us, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have nothing to boast about. Noah had nothing to boast about. God chose to save him. And he obeyed God. He walked with God and sought to live for him because of his grace, the grace of God that had changed him and made him into a new person. So Noah experienced salvation, deliverance by grace. And I noticed on our bulletin, we have that here on the front. If you know it, do you ever read the bulletins? It's a good idea. I like what has been put here. It says, Noah obeyed and was saved. He was delivered from the judgment because he obeyed God, right? God can do the same for you. And then it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So he is our ark of safety, isn't he? Jesus. He's the one who can save us from our sins and from the judgment of God. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, right? But if Jesus took our judgment upon himself, then we will not be judged for our sins. We will be redeemed, and we are redeemed by his precious blood, and we have eternal life. So Noah is a picture to us there of the grace of God in action and how the Lord chose to save him, deliver him, and to make him the person that he was. A just man, perfect in his generations, walking with God. He lived a fruitful life. And it says here in the previous verse, chapter 5, verse 32, it says, Noah was 500 years old. So apparently this is when God began to work with him. He begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we don't know. They weren't triplets or anything. So he had them, one at a time. But somewhere during that period of time, and we don't know anything about Noah's younger life. It doesn't go into detail at all about that. We know very little about him. It's just that he was a righteous man that God used in a miraculous way to save his family from destruction and to save the human race from extinction. So God used him in an amazing way. The Lord spoke to him and he obeyed the voice of God. It says in verse 22 of chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You see, whatever God told him to do, he did it. It doesn't say anything about him disputing or wondering about it or turning away from it. No, he did what God said to do. So that's a lesson for each and every one of us. When God says something, then we should obey. Be obedient. That's the main important thing. Trust in him and obey what he tells us to do. So God here warns Noah of the coming judgment. The first part here talks about the sin of man, the corruption, and all that was going on. And we get down to verse 13. We find God speaking to Noah. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So here he's warning him of all these things. Now over in Hebrews, chapter 11, the faith chapter, there's a verse there for about Noah in verse 7. It says, by faith, notice he has faith, by faith Noah, being warned of God, not seen of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So we see he was a man who trusted God. He believed in him. He obeyed him and did not disobey in any way what God had told him to do. You can imagine this was a time, it had never rained before. It says that there was a mist that came up from the ground to water the earth. They hadn't had any rain. And you can imagine when Noah told them, you know, he's building this ark to save the world from the flood, rains. They would laugh at him because they didn't even know what rain was, you know. And yet Noah did not question God. He continued to obey him and fulfilled what he did by faith. He believed. And that's what God requires, isn't it? It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we have to believe him when he says something to us and follow through. So God instructed Noah how to prepare the ark. He told him exactly what to do. It wasn't something that he had to think of himself. God gave him the blueprint, so to speak, of how to build this ark. And they tell us that the shape of this ark was more like a floating box. You know, it's not that it had to go anywhere in particular. It just floated above the water. And the way it was made, made of gopher wood. I'm not quite sure what that is. Some people had said cypress, maybe. But anyway, and sealed with tar, this pitch, sealed in good with a so that it would not leak in any way. And the size of it, it says it was 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high, which corresponds to about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. So this is the size of the boat, which is was plenty big to cover all of the different species of animals at that time. And there's three stories high. Three decks, it says. And had only one door and one window at the top, sort of like a skylight. And it was large enough to hold all of the animals and the food and Noah's family and everything that they needed. It says, I think that I've heard it said that it was about the size of an ocean liner, you know, one of those big ships. So Noah then was obedient to do everything that God told him to do. I read that a little bit ago. And he chose two of every animal, placed them in the ark so that they would have they'd be preserved. Species would go on. In verse 19 it says, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And what are all of these different kinds of animals and insects and everything you can imagine were placed on the ark. And then he told him to take seven pairs of the clean animals for sacrifice and for food and other things. So that's in chapter 7, Verse 2. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, and so forth. And this was so that he could offer up the sacrifices. And we see that after they came out of the ark, the first thing Noah did was to offer a thanksgiving sacrifice to God for keeping them during this time. So then we find the flood coming on the earth. This was actually happened, according to the scriptures, a worldwide flood. I know they found these fish and things way up in the mountains, and all kinds of fossils and things like that. Over in Utah and whatever, different places. And this was not just a local flood, but it was a worldwide flood. And as we read, Jesus talked about the flood. He speaks about it in various other places in the book of Isaiah. The apostles talked about it. We read these ones from 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter. And chapter 3, let's see here, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. We're not quite sure what Peter is talking about here. It's in verse 19, it says, by which also he, that is Jesus, went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here refers back to the days of Noah and the judgment that God sent, and eight people were saved by being in the ark. And it says this is like, it's a figure of baptism, which gives us a good conscience in the sight of God. Not that it cleanses you, but that you are being obedient. And Noah was obedient in building the ark, and we went inside and was saved from certain death. The other one is in 2 Peter 2. And verse 5, he's talking about God not sparing those who sinned and warning the people to obey God. And here in verse 5, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. So Noah was a preacher as well, proclaiming the truth as he was building the ark, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So here we find it talks about how God destroyed the ungodly and saved Noah from destruction. Chapter 3 and verse 6 is one more verse. It says, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So here we find that as God destroyed the world once by the flood, he's going to destroy it again by fire because of the ungodliness and the sin of mankind. And we have to realize that God is holy and righteous, and that he will not continue to tolerate all of the sin and everything that man does. So the flood then came to cleanse the earth of the sin of mankind, and so that they can start over again in a new way. The flood, it says, came from above, as we think of rain, but also it said that the fountains of the great deep broke up. So there's water down there, that it all came up, and for 40 days and 40 nights it rained, and the flood came up and destroyed all that was on the face of the earth, except for Noah and those in the ark. They were in there for approximately a year. You can read all of this when you want to. It's several chapters here. We're not going to go into all that this morning. But you can see what happened. They waited for the flood waters to go back down after it stopped raining. And they were there for approximately a year until they finally went out. Noah sent out, first of all, it said a raven to see what would happen. And the raven didn't come back. You know, a raven is a scavenger, right? So he went on out and found something to light on and stayed out there. But then he sent out the dove, which is a clean animal, a clean bird. And it came back in to Noah. It wouldn't stay out there where all the corruption was. And Noah kept it for a while and then sent him out again and came back with an olive leaf in its beak. You know, they always use the dove and the leaf as a sign of peace. And here we find, after all of the commotion, after the judgment, after the flood, here is this peace that settles over the land. And the dove is there. And so after a while longer, they waited and then finally went out of the ark. I have a note here that says it was 377 days, if you count it all up, that they were in the ark. And after the flood, let's look at chapter 8 and verse 15. Chapter 8, verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both the fowl of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Something in mankind, you know. We're sons of Adam and have that evil nature. And even after starting all over again with the sons of Noah, there's still that evil that's present. But he says, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So God promises he will not flood the earth anymore. And Noah offers up the sacrifices to God in thanksgiving for what he's done for him. Some practical lessons that we get from all of this, I think, is that God does punish sin, doesn't he? Sometimes in a great way like this. It's only once or twice that something like this has happened. A flood like this only once. And at the end, he's going to destroy the world by fire. But it shows you the patience and the long-suffering of God with all the ungodliness that happens continually. And he gives warnings. He gave warnings to the people for 120 years, apparently. Noah and his sons built the ark. People had ample warning to flee from the wrath to come, but they didn't. They just continued on their merry way. God always saves people by grace, says here in the first book of the Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's what we have to depend upon, isn't it? The grace of God that brings salvation. It's appeared to each and every one of us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live righteously in his sight. Faith produces obedience. If we truly believe what God says, then we will obey what he tells us to do. And that's like Noah, obeying God in all that he told him. And then the ark itself is a picture to us of the Lord Jesus, our ark of safety, the one that we flee to for our salvation, the one who redeems us from our sins that we might have everlasting life. So there's a lot of lessons to learn from this. And it's if we had the time to go into it in a greater way, I'm sure it would be more interesting, but it's a lot to think about in what we find here in this wonderful Bible story, which is true. And I hope each and every one of us can learn something from it. Father, we just thank you for your word. And we thank you to know that you are altogether holy and righteous in all your ways. We thank you that you have redeemed us from our sins through the blood of Christ, and that we have everlasting life in him. Lord, you know each one of us who are here this morning, if there's anyone who is not sure of their salvation, I pray that they would look to you and call upon your name and put their faith and trust in you completely. And help us as believers to be obedient as we live in an ungodly world. May we be faithful to you, to be righteous and holy in our daily life. And we pray that your will might be accomplished through each one of us. May our Lord Jesus be glorified. Thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's take our